Because we're all children of Abraham by faith. What a heritage. Going right the way back into the Old Testament. Well, this morning we shall be looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. The parable of the 10 virgins. Now this is a rich parable, and we won't be looking at it exhaustively. Not that we've looked at any parable exhaustively, but from what we can glean from it, what this parable teaches us. Now, chapter 25 is where, of course, the parable is given, and we will read the parable soon. It's Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Now, before I come to it, I just want to make a few points. Matthew chapter 25 is a continuation from Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, we read that the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they asked him three things. And I'd like to look at that to begin with in verses 1 to 3 of Matthew chapter 24. The disciples here asked Jesus three things. We read, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So we see three things that Jesus was asked by the disciples here. Firstly, when shall the temple in Jerusalem be destroyed? And of course, that was destroyed in 70 AD. Secondly, what shall be the sign of Jesus' coming? And then thirdly, what shall be the sign of the end of the world? So, for the rest of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus proceeds to tell the disciples what things will happen leading up to his coming. And he tells them what shall lead up to the end of the world. And when Jesus tells them these things that will happen, in verse 4, Jesus says this. The first thing he says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." First things out of Jesus' mouth. Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, Jesus tells us what things will happen. And more than anything else, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. Of all the things that Jesus mentions here in Matthew 24, deception is the prime thing that he warns us of. And Jesus says in verse 5, "More, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, brethren, I'd like you to notice two things that here. Many shall come in Jesus' name and say, I am Christ. Christ is the same thing as Messiah. It means one who is anointed. So someone who professes themselves to be Christ is someone who professes themselves to have an anointing. when they don't. A false anointing. They call themselves Christ. And of course, it means, of course, those who profess themselves to be the Messiah or the Christ. But it's more subtle than that. It can simply be someone who comes in Jesus' name and professes to be anointed when they aren't. Now, secondly, notice, not only shall they come in Jesus' name and profess themselves to be Christ, but many shall come in Jesus' name and profess Jesus to be Christ, and yet deceive many. Now, how so? Because we read in the scriptures, and we're warned in the scriptures, against anyone who preaches another Jesus, whom the apostles have not preached. Anyone who preaches a Jesus from the Bible is preaching the real Jesus. Anyone who preaches a Jesus that is not in the Bible is preaching a different Jesus, preaching a false Jesus. And Jesus says, be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. And in verse 24 of Matthew 24, Jesus says, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's deception. So Jesus says to us, brethren, take heed that no man deceive you. That must be preached from the pulpits across the country. Take heed that no man deceive you. There are many deceivers entered into the world, brethren. And so that's Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus tells us the things that shall happen leading up to Jesus' second coming and to the end of the world. Now, Matthew chapter 25 is a continuation from Matthew chapter 24. And so, brethren, I'd like us to come to it this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. We read the following. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And then Jesus here says to us in conclusion, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. So this here is the parable of the 10 virgins. Jesus is continuing on from Matthew chapter 24. And so, brethren, by the grace of God, and by him, and by his Spirit, I endeavour this morning to unveil the scriptures in this parable, and yet not me, but the Lord. Now, please, brethren, look with me in verse 1. The parable here opens up with the word, then. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now this word here, then, in context means at that time, referring to the time which Jesus was speaking of in Matthew chapter 24. In other words, at the time of Jesus' coming, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Here we see the condition or the state of the church just before the Lord comes, at the time of Jesus' coming. And so in verse 1, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins. A virgin in this parable symbolises a church. We read this in Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Paul here espoused the church at Corinth to one husband, and he did so that he might present her to him as a chaste virgin. We see here that a local church is a virgin. And in this parable, the 10 virgins symbolise churches. Churches, local churches. And of course, together, they symbolise the whole church. They symbolise churches. And we see there in Corinth that Paul espoused the church at Corinth to one husband, that he may present her a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, as virgins, of course, are women that have known no man by lying with him, so churches are to be unspotted from the world. They're to be in the world, but not of the world. We read in Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So, we see here that the 10 virgins symbolise churches which are unspotted from the world. They're in the world and not of the world. They're virgins. And then we read in verse 1 that these 10 virgins took their lamps. They took their lamps. What does this speak of? It speaks of the churches taking the word of God. We read in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. We can see where we're stepping by it. Thy word is a lamp unto my path. We can see where we're going. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And these 10 virgins took their Bibles. They had the word of God. And we see a description in the scriptures of the church taking this lamp. And we see this, brethren, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain." So as a lamp is held forth in the hand to give light, so believers are to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now we see here two aspects. We have the light of the scriptures for us, and secondly, we bear witness to the light of Christ. And so we see here that these 10 virgins, they took their lamps. They had the word of God. They were unspotted from the world. And then we read this in verse 1, that these 10 virgins went forth to meet the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? We know the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the bridegroom to whom the church is espoused and to whom she is to be presented as a chaste virgin. The churches are to be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. It's not just an individual thing, but a collective thing. We are to be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. And the ministers want to take great joy in presenting her to Jesus when he comes. That they may rejoice in that day. Here she is, beautiful, spotless, wearing a white dress. The bride of Christ. And Christ, brethren, is our bridegroom. And the churches are virgins, holding forth the word, unspotted from the world. Now, continuing on in verse 2, we read, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. These virgins that go forth to meet the bridegroom, that are looking for the coming of Christ, that are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. So what is the parable telling us here? Five are wise and five are foolish. All ten were virgins. All churches have a form of godliness. All ten took their lamps. So the churches have the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. They all have the word. And they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. They're all looking for the coming of Christ. But five were wise and five were foolish. Verse 3, we get further insight. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. As the foolish virgins took their lamps and took no oil, so the foolish churches take the word of God and take no oil with them. What does oil symbolise here? Oil is needed to keep a lamp burning, to give light at night. Else the lamp will eventually go out. We read in Leviticus 24, verses 1 to 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. As pure oil olive is for the light, so the Holy Spirit is given to enlighten the understanding. We read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. It is the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name. He shall teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, the oil is the enlightenment of the Spirit. The foolish virgins had no enlightenment of the Spirit in the Scriptures. They had the form of knowledge. They had the form of godliness. But they are without the Spirit. And so they had no enlightenment in the Scriptures. We see here that the Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. He brings the Scriptures to our remembrance. When you're unsure what a particular passage means, the Spirit brings it to your memory, a different passage which explains the meaning of it. And so we compare spiritual things with spiritual things, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He brings the Scriptures to our remembrance. He guides us into all truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he illuminates, enlightens our minds, our understanding to the Scriptures, so that we can see in the dark. He guides us into all truth. And so we see Paul's prayer and desire for the church at Colossae in Colossians 1:9. And his desire and prayer was that they might be filled
with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
So pure oil olive, brethren, as it's given for the light, so the Holy Spirit is given to enlighten our understanding in the scriptures. But the foolish virgins took their lamps and took no oil with them. And so likewise, foolish churches, they have the word of God, but they don't have this Holy Spirit to enlighten their understanding in it. They've got the form, but they haven't got the Spirit, and therefore are without understanding. They have the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law, Romans 2:20, but Timothy 2:3-5, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the power thereof. And what makes them foolish? It makes them foolish because they have the wisdom of this world. Hath not God made the wisdom of this world foolishness? They have the wisdom of this world. They're wise in this world and of this world. They're intellectual. They're clever. But they're fools. They haven't the word and the spirit together. And so, the foolish virgins had their lamps, but took no oil with them. And then we come to verse 4, brethren. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Unlike the foolish virgins, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, let's understand what a vessel speaks of. A vessel symbolizes the body. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We see here, brethren, the vessel symbolizes the body. And so as the wise virgins took oil in their vessels with their lamps, so wise churches have the Spirit in their members, and therefore they have the enlightenment of the Spirit in the word of God, which is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now we read in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The 10 virgins did gone forth to meet the bridegroom. Likewise, the churches are looking for that blessed hope. But as the bridegroom tarried, so the Lord delays in coming. Now, let's understand this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, we're told that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're scoffing at us. Where's the promise of his coming? They say. And they argue this, that since the fathers fell asleep, in other words, since they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is he? This is what the scoffers say. But we read the answer to this, brethren, in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, the Lord is not slack to come. He is long-suffering to usward. He is bearing long with us. Why? Because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's the Lord's mercy. It's his mercy. The Lord is delaying to come, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Nevertheless, the Lord will come. And we read in Hebrews 10, for yet a little while,
and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He will come, and when he comes, he will not tarry. For yet a little while, the scripture says, and he that shall come and will not tarry. He will come, and when he comes quickly, he says in Revelation. So while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, there are quite a few things that could be said about this slumbering and sleeping. And I'll give my understanding on this, though there may be more to it. Both the wise and foolish virgins slumbered and slept while the bridegroom tarried. And so, partly it means this, that churches alike cease to watch and pray for the coming of the Lord. To pray always, Jesus says. How many churches in the country are not watching and praying for the coming of the Lord in our present times? How many churches have gone to sleep? How many churches are not loving his appearing? How many churches have left the first love and are not watching and waiting for Jesus to come? They've forgotten that he's coming again. And how many have gone to sleep and are not waiting for Jesus to come? They don't want him to come, some churches. Remember the two women, or the one woman, with having two dreams in the Song of Solomon. And in chapter 3, she's in bed and she can't wait. She gets out in the night and she goes outside of the house and she goes looking for the bridegroom. She inquires of the watchman, "Have you seen him?" And then she finds him and she takes hold of him. And they go to the chamber together for the marriage. That's like the wise churches. But in chapter 5, she has a nightmare. And she is in bed again. And she doesn't get up to go looking for him. She wants to stay in bed. She doesn't want to get up. And there's a knock at the door, much like the knock on the church door in Revelation. He knocked on the door of the house. And she said, "Oh, I'm in bed. I've taken my shoes off. I don't want to get them dirty. I've taken my coat off. I can't put it on now. The garment of salvation." And he knocked. And when she finally got up and came downstairs, he'd gone, like the foolish virgins, and the door was shut. Brethren, there are many churches that have gone to sleep and are not waiting for him. They're not looking for him. They're not praying for it. Because really, they want to stay in bed. The bed of the flesh. So they slumbered and slept. Now, brethren, there is more to it. But we shall move on. The night. He comes in the night. What does the night symbolise? Spiritual darkness. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the night in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2. It says, "For behold, the darkness shall come, shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Paul describes the night in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 5. Paul says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." But then notice this, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." We're not just talking about those outside of the church. We're talking about those that profess to be wise virgins. but they're foolish. They have a form of godliness, brethren, but they deny the power thereof. And things are getting darker. The times we live in now, it's getting darker. The night is coming. We better have oil in our lamps. Paul says, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And Paul therefore says to us in 1 Thessalonians, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. We know neither the day nor the hour in which the Lord comes, but we know this, that the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so Jesus in Matthew 24 says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Christ shall come in the night. He shall come in a time of gross spiritual darkness. And the day of the Lord will overtake many. The day of the Lord, when Christ comes, will overtake many, for those that are left behind. Now, verse 6, we read this. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Remember again the two dreams in the Song of Solomon? She got out of bed, she was straight out to go and find him. But the other one didn't. She didn't get up. She was slow in getting up. When she finally did, he'd gone. She wasn't ready. Just think of the analogy. In the morning, you're lying in bed and the taxi pulls up outside the house and your phone rings, taxi's here, and you've only got a few moments to get in the taxi, go and catch the plane. You're straight out of that bed, into your clothes and off. But the foolish are not so. They didn't want to get up. They stay in the bed of the flesh. They enjoy too much the pleasures of this world to really want Jesus to come. She was waiting in a sense for him to come, but just not yet. See? Where our hearts are really at, are we ready to meet him? And so it was at midnight that the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. It was at midnight, in the black and dark night, that the cry was made. And so the cry will be made at midnight. And midnight speaks of the last 3.5 years prophesied by Daniel, when things are at their darkest, brethren. When things are at the darkest. When the prophecy of Isaiah shall find its full fulfillment. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And so in verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. When this cry is made at midnight, they are awoken out of their slumber and sleep. And we read that the virgins trimmed their lamps. And that word trim there is also translated adorn. And we read in Titus 2:10 about adorning the doctrine of God, our Saviour, in all things. You see, the wise churches adorn themselves. They adorn the doctrine of God, our Saviour. Our life adorns this if we prepare ourselves according to it. Adorning the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. So in other words, when they are awoken, they shall prepare themselves for Christ, for the bridegroom. according to the word of God. And we should be doing that now. And in verse 8, we read this. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The foolish were not ready yet to meet the bridegroom. Their lamps were now gone out, and it was midnight. They were in darkness and couldn't see. So likewise, brethren, foolish churches shall not be ready to meet Christ when he comes. Any enlightenment they did have in the word is now quenched. They shall have no understanding of the times, as in 1 Chronicles 12. They will not be able to discern the signs of the times and of the coming of the Lord. They can't see, for the lamp's gone out. Their understanding shall be darkened. And so they'll be unable to prepare themselves according to the word of God to meet Christ. And the prophet Daniel says this, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Foolish churches shall be without understanding. How many foolish churches do we see today in our times? No understanding of the times. No discernment of the times. Why? Because they've got no oil in the lamps. They can't see. And it's getting darker. But they can't see because the lamps are not burning. They've got no oil in the lamps. They've got the form, but they haven't got the spirit. And so we read here that the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, the wise virgins, they'd taken oil in their vessels with their lamps. And the call has gone out. Christ is coming. And the foolish virgins have got no light. So they want some of the oil from the wise. Proverbs 21:20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. See, the foolish virgins took the lamps, but they took no oil. So it is this, that when Christ comes at midnight, wise churches should have the enlightenment of the Spirit in the Word, and will therefore be preparing themselves in a short space of time to meet him. But foolish churches shall be in want of wisdom. They shall want understanding from the wise. They will be without understanding, and they won't be prepared to meet the Lord. And so they will come to the wise and say, we don't know what's going on. We don't understand. They had no oil in their lamps, brethren. In verse 9, the wise have to answer with this. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You see, to every one of the members of the church is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And this measure of grace given to every member is sufficient to prepare them to meet Christ. But grace given to one church may not be sufficient to prepare another church which is without it. They need the oil for themselves. And there'll be no time remaining for wise churches to prepare themselves and minister grace to them when the Lord is coming. Psalm 49 verse 7, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. We must have oil for them ourselves, brethren. We must have oil in our lamps. Everyone must receive the grace of God by faith. So, the wise virgins in verse 9 say this to the foolish, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. That's what they tell them to do. That's what they're going to have to do. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. How? By redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Learning from Christ and his faithful ministers, in giving attendance to the reading, searching, in studying of the scriptures. Buy the truth. The foolish will have to go and get it. But, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. A frightful thing, really. Those foolish churches, they went to get understanding, enlightenment, and groping in the darkness. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and his faithful church, which has made herself ready, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Midnight. It will be a dark time when this takes place. There will be a great deliverance, Daniel says. A great deliverance. And when that catching up to meet the Lord in the air has taken place, when his church, his wise virgin, has been taken up to him, the door is shut. And then we read in verse 11, afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. You see, they will seek the Lord and shall not find him. That day shall have overtaken them as a thief in the night. And the bridegroom's answer to them is this. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The bridegroom didn't know the foolish virgins, though they called him Lord, Lord. So Christ doesn't know these foolish churches. For the Lord knoweth them that are his. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so, Jeremiah 8, verse 20 shall be fulfilled in those foolish churches, which says the harvest has passed, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The foolish virgins, you see, they took the lamps, they had the word, and took no will with them. They didn't have the enlightenment of the Spirit in the scriptures. And so the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, and it shall overtake them as a thief. They won't be able to see, for it will be night. And that's when we read Proverbs 1:28-30. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. And you see, the same with Israel, don't we? Israel did not discern Christ's first coming, but they had the scriptures. And so it is, the foolish churches, they won't discern Christ's second coming. They won't discern the signs of the times that Jesus has told us in Matthew 24 and elsewhere, Luke 21, the prophecies in the book of Daniel, Jeremiah, Zechariah. We need to get our minds into it and get ready. Have oil in our lamps, brethren. And so Jesus says this, having concluded the parable in verse 12, he says this to us. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Just notice here, we do not know the day or the hour. But what we do know is that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so the Lord's word to us is, watch therefore. We need to take oil in our vessels with our lamps now. Now. Take it while we can get it. Take it while we can get it. We need the scriptures. And we need the Holy Spirit's enlightenment in it so we can understand it. And as the coming of the Lord draws closer, wise churches will understand more. The scriptures will be unsealed for them. But foolish churches will understand less. They will understand less. Proverbs 4, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not that what they stumble. And so oil, brethren, is needed to keep the lamp burning continually. Let us not be without the oil. And if we are without understanding of the times in the light of the word of God, we won't be able to prepare ourselves accordingly. And so we won't be ready to meet Jesus when he comes. And we must examine ourselves whether we really are ready. And so, brethren, I conclude with this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter says this: we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The word of God is a lamp, a more sure word of prophecy. And we do well to take heed to it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We do well to know and understand the prophecies of Scripture concerning the coming of the Lord, and not to be without oil, because the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Amen.